Good morning and welcome to Sacred Space. My name is Lorraine Buckley. This morning's program is the second part of our two-part program on the Cistercian Sisters of St. Mary's Abbey in Glencairn. On our last program, Sister Sarah Branigan and Sister Michelle Slattery took us through the beginnings of the order, the Cistercian charism, the life of the Cistercian Sisters and the stages of formation. And this program is available on our blog at www.sacredspace102.blogspot.ie. On this morning's programme, we hear from three sisters, Mother Mary Fahey, Sister Mairead McDonough, and Sister Clothilde Anamitsu. Each interview gives us a different insight into the life and story of these grace-filled women. We begin our programme by speaking with Mother Mary Fahey. Good morning, Mother Mary.
Good morning, Lorraine.
Thank you so much for having me here this morning.
Not at all. It's a great privilege.
Mother Mary, where are you from yourself?
I'm from Woodford in County Galway.
Oh, a Galway woman.
Yes.
What brought you to Glencairn?
Well, I'm hoping it was the call, the call of the Lord. Maybe it was just an easy option.
Oh, I doubt that.
But I was actually in a missionary order.
Okay.
After leaving CERT, I entered a missionary order, the Incarnate Word Sisters, and I did nurses training in England. Then I did further studies in Texas, and then worked for 7 years in Guatemala.
Wow!
And through all of this, I knew I had a vocation, and I loved nursing and activities with people, and but there was always something in me. I suppose a call to more prayer, quiet life, intimacy with God, and to follow Christ in a radical way. And so that's what brought me here. I eventually, after many years of putting it off, decided that I would at least consider it.
Beautiful. That's wonderful.
Yeah, so...
So then, at the moment, you're the abbess of the community. This is your third term?
My third term, yes. I was elected first in 2001.
Great.
And then re-elected in 2007, and just now re-elected. It's a privilege because I suppose I relate to the sisters at a deeper level, and I know them very well. And it's also a privilege because it gives me an opportunity to... in a sense, shape the environment and maintain values and put my own little touch on things.
Sure.
And I'm very convinced of the whole ethos of monastic life. Prayer, conversion, ongoing conversion, and creating a place of prayer, creating an environment where people will grow. At the moment, the big challenge is doing something about our buildings.
Yes.
So all of that I find challenging and fulfilling and energizing, and I enjoy it, actually.
And it's a real service to the community rather than this position of power. You know, some people might look from the outside and go, oh, the abbess has all the power. But no, it's a real... service.
It is a service, and I suppose you're kind of a sense of that you create unity, I think. And somebody has to be there to hear the voices and draw out the suggestions, and then hopefully come to some decisions. But and then you see that you have the care of the elderly and accompanying them, and through these years as abbess, 17 sisters have died.
Oh my gosh.
So I think that's the moment when I'm maybe, I don't know if I'm at my best, but it's a great, great privilege to accompany people to death. It's a strange thing to say, but I really find it very moving. There's a closeness, a palpable closeness then, I think, between heaven and earth, you know.
Absolutely.
And and of course there's a great loss when somebody dies, you know, because they're such gifted women, really. And there's always a void then for a while, you know. and then somebody else kind of steps in to take their place.
Okay.
And so it's wonderful too to have new vocations.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another privilege, to kind of meet people, meet their families, hear their story, welcome them into the community,
mm-hmm.
help them to feel at home, support them.
Isn't that gorgeous?
Do a bit of teaching,
yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
Fantastic. I asked Mother Mary whether monastic life is a witness of gospel values to a predominantly secular world.
I think it is a good witness. Mm. Monastic life creates a kind of a monastic culture, which in a sense might be a challenge to secular culture.
Mm-hmm.
And the culture in monastic life is centered around faith.
Right.
And God and God's presence, and also values which promote the dignity, I think, of the human person,
mm-hmm.
like having a humanized environment, and also monastic life is about educating our desires,
mm-hmm.
and putting order.
Mm-hmm.
on our affections and desires,
mm-hmm.
and enabling us to develop spiritually, because
mm-hmm.
there is so much emphasis on the body,
mm-hmm.
and on things,
mm-hmm.
material
mm-hmm.
things,
mm-hmm.
materialism,
mm-hmm.
and all of that, that monastic culture tries to create a different kind of an environment,
mm-hmm.
where there is an emphasis on simplicity,
mm-hmm.
simplicity of life, stability,
mm-hmm.
persevering even through difficult times, because we live in a very mobile culture.
Sure.
And people
mm-hmm.
might tend to pick up and go when there's conflicts or
exactly.
challenges. So monastic life creates a stable, persevering atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
It's a witness simply by going into the church there 7 times a day,
mm-hmm.
and being there.
Mm-hmm.
And doing it every day,
mm-hmm.
and having that as a priority. And I think also it witnesses through the effort to convert.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a great believer in this challenge before, you see, we're as human persons, we're noble creatures,
mm-hmm.
made in God's image. But also within us, we have this pull of sin.
We do.
So we have the pull of grace and the pull of sin.
Mm-hmm.
And the choices of every day, which really determine our long-term goals,
mm-hmm.
The choice to move, hopefully, towards grace, the witness, I think, we really need to be credible today.
Mm.
That's one
mm.
of the challenges in the church, I think.
Absolutely.
To be credible.
Mm-hmm.
And
to be authentic.
To be authentic.
Mm.
And to live from the heart what
mm.
we profess.
Mm-hmm.
And to live interiorly what we profess exteriorly.
Mm. And I like that idea about putting order on something. It's not that the body is wrong or sex is wrong or money
no.
is wrong or any of these things, but it's giving them their correct order.
That's right.
Mm.
And educating or forming our desires so
mm.
that actually we conform to the desires of Christ
mm-hmm.
and God,
mm.
which is always beautiful and good.
Mm. Absolutely, because God created us. He wants the very best for us.
Yeah.
And I think that sort of education is really necessary today.
Yeah. And it involves a certain asceticism.
Mm.
Because we have to learn to deny ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a popular element in life today. But it's very necessary if we're to grow
mm-hmm.
as humans and spiritual beings.
Mm-hmm. How is that facilitated within a monastic community?
I think it's facilitated through the observances.
Okay.
You know, getting up vigils,
mm-hmm.
getting up early, vegetarian diet,
mm-hmm.
a certain structure in the day. You're limited, you know, and so you're freed, actually. You become,
mm-hmm.
You get an inner freedom.
Mm-hmm.
It's that inner freedom that enables us to enjoy what's very simple.
Mm-hmm. It is. Even the simplicity strikes me, even though I've only spent a morning here now at this stage. It's something that comes across very obvious, that it is a simple life, not necessarily an easy life, no, but a simple life.
It's a focused, mm-hmm. it's a very focused life. Mm-hmm. St. Bernard, who really put the Cistercians on the map in the 12th century, his theory, and he has written many treatises, but it all comes back really to the one thing. He says that union with God and wholeness of the human person mm-hmm. comes about in three steps.
Okay.
First, self-knowledge. Mm-hmm. You know, we are this noble creature, but mm-hmm. we also have the pull of sin. Mm-hmm. So to recognize, to come to know ourselves and our desires. Mm-hmm. The second step is a merciful relationship with our neighbor. Mm-hmm. If once we know our own weakness and fragility, we're much more compassionate and merciful towards the people around us. And then the third step is that would lead to a purity of heart that would enable us to recognize the touch of God.
Isn't that gorgeous?
So it is a very focused life, mm-hmm. but a very fulfilling life, because you're living at a deep level. Mm-hmm. Deep in the sense of being in touch with yourself and your desires and your motivations and your fears and your all of that, and deep in the sense of being in God, mm-hmm. and so trying every day to listen for the voice of God and the voice of the Spirit. And if I didn't make good choices yesterday, I might make better ones today.
Sure.
And I think that's why the monastery is called a school of love, because we're educated to transcend the superficial mm-hmm. and try and live at a deeper level. Mm-hmm.
Because there is a tendency today to live at that superficial level, to not really engage with, you know, the purpose of life or the big questions. Mm-hmm. And I think the danger is then you kind of go through your life going through the motions without actually reconnecting with yourself. Mm-hmm. Whereas the idea of self-knowledge, even though that might not always be an easy thing to do, that's very important.
Self-knowledge, yes, mm-hmm. it is. It's probably the first step, isn't it, towards mm-hmm. Self-fulfillment
and
inner freedom. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, if you're at ease with yourself, you're at ease with the people around you. Mm-hmm. So it's important that when people come to monastic life, that they have a certain level of emotional maturity. Mm-hmm. And are kind of connected with themselves, somewhat anyway. Because maybe one of the most difficult aspects of monastic life is exactly that. Mm-hmm. Facing yourself and knowing that you're not perfect.
Yes.
And that you have to change. And the change is difficult. Mm-hmm. And but, you know, grace is at work. Grace is at work.
Exactly. And at the most deepest level, that yes. you are loved and created by God.
Yes.
And it's for that purpose that he wants to change certain yes. aspects of how you live.
Yeah, and I think it's part of the manual labor mm. is exactly this, of giving us an opportunity to grow, mm. because we're stretched mm. and demands are made on us, and certainly it's a formative part of the life, the manual work.
The first piece of music this morning is taken from the sisters' album, Laudamus. The album is available to buy from their website, www.glencairnabbey.org, and would make a beautiful Christmas present. This track is the Magnificat and Antiphon from Vespers. So let's have a listen.
My soul glorifies the Lord, Sacred Space on West Limerick 102.
Welcome back to Sacred Space. My name is Lorraine Buckley. The next sister we are going to meet is Sister Mairead McDonough. Sister Mairead shares with us a little of her own vocation story and speaks to us about one of the works of the monastery, the card printing department. Good morning, Sister Mairead.
Good morning, Lorraine.
Did you always want to be a sister?
No, I didn't. I can't say I did, actually. I'm what you would consider a late vocation.
Right.
I was in my 40s before I felt any calling.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in a happy, we'd say, Catholic rural environment. We had the family rosary at night time, mm-hmm. and Sunday was always a very special day. I remember polishing our shoes and getting our best clothes ready on Saturday night for Sunday Mass and mm-hmm. all that. So I suppose I grew up with that, and there was a lovely tradition in the Connemara Gaeltacht where God's blessing was invoked by ourselves and for others, for every, for lots of vocations, or whatever you were doing, mm-hmm. any event. And we always felt God's presence in our lives, I think, when mm-hmm. I was growing up, you know, and we lived there beside the sea, and it was, you know, the whole nature of God's creation was beautiful.
It sounds lovely.
Yeah, it was.
It really does.
And I suppose in that respect, we were rooted in that, mm-hmm. you know, in God's loving presence around us. Then I was also educated by the Sisters of Mercy in Spittal, you know, mm-hmm. and they contributed, I suppose, to my nurture my faith. And then I went to work in the Central Bank in Dublin.
Okay.
When I was about 17.
Mm-hmm.
But I loved city life as well, you know, mm-hmm. and I took to it like a fish out of water. And I loved my life in Dublin too. So mm-hmm. If God was calling me that time, I wasn't actually.
You
I was too preoccupied to listen to what he was, you know. Because I suppose vocation is a strange thing, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Really, it's as they call it, a journey into the unknown. But I didn't think I had a vocation. I was enjoying life too much, I
mm-hmm.
think.
Mm-hmm.
But still, there was something there always at the back. You know, there was that restlessness there.
Mm-hmm.
And in the 1980s, I took a career break from the bank, and I spent 2.5 years in South Africa.
Oh, wow. Yeah, what were you doing there?
I was a member of the lay association, Via Tauris Christi.
Fantastic organisation.
Yes,
really
yes, it is indeed. Mm. And I was working in a children's home in Durban in South Africa.
Fantastic.
And that was a great experience.
Mm.
But it was a very turbulent time there. You know, there was a culture of, you know, segregation and fear and violence and, you know, during that time in the 80s. So, but I really admired the people that I worked with there, the Africans. They worked, of course, they were segregated, they lived in townships, and
mm-hmm.
they had to travel many hours to get to the home. They mm-hmm. worked in the laundry and the kitchen and that type of thing. But they were all so happy, and they used to sing. And I was like, what have they got to sing about? Because
yeah.
they had to go home to their townships,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't know if the place was burnt, because there was a lot of division there between supporters of the ANC, we'll say, and
mm-hmm.
supporter of the Zulu. Buthelezi was the tribal leader there. So, I mean, they were fighting and killing one another as well,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it was
mm-hmm.
a very turbulent time. But at the same time, when I returned home, I realised that, you know, we have different values here, and, you know, I just so secular, and, you know, and we were always, you know, pursuing power
mm-hmm.
and pursuing happiness through power and,
exactly.
You know, prestige and entertainment and all that type
mm-hmm.
of thing. And for me, even though I had, I loved socialising myself, but it didn't mean anything anymore, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I became restless, I suppose. It was like what St. Augustine said, my restless heart can find no rest until they rest in you. And that's why I felt I needed to a more living relationship with God, but
mm-hmm.
still I wasn't thinking of a vocation.
Okay.
In that respect, but
so how did you respond then to this kind of restlessness within you?
I used to Go to places of retreat, places like this Glencairn, even though I wasn't, I didn't know this place existed, but I went to other retreat places. I used to go to Ross Cray, the monks, the Cistercian monks, and that's actually where I saw a poster. There was a monastic experience weekend, I think, coming up here or something. And then I looked it up on the website, and I got interested. But at the same time, I thought I was too old, because I was in my 40s at this stage, you see.
Yeah.
So I thought, sure, this is now a change. You know, this is a midlife crisis. You know, why am I thinking about vocation? Mm-hmm. This my long-term plans was to take early retirement and travel, love to travel, to travel the world, and then eventually to sell my house and everything, and then to settle down in Connemara, you know. That was my long-term plans, but I presume God had another plan for me anyhow, and here I am.
So yeah. did you go to the monastic weekend that you saw?
I didn't at that time, but I remember, I suppose that was early on, I remember reading, I suppose that helped me, the story of the soul, you know.
I love it.
And that sowed the seeds as well, you know, and there was a few things, you know, that happened. So eventually after looking at the website, I contacted them here, and I spent some time in the guest house, and, you know, I liked what I saw, you know, when I came, and I pursued it after that then, and I came as a live-in, and there was a postulant and an office, right. And here I am. I made my silent profession in 2010.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Did you find it hard to talk about it with your family and friends?
Well, I did, actually, and I didn't tell anybody, not even my, you know, my closest family members, because they couldn't understand, you know, if they had to hide everything, and this was, what was I doing this? And even though, I mean, our family would be very supportive, and they still are very supportive, but they were sorry, they thought I was cutting myself away from everybody, but that is not the way it is. Eventually they got around. I didn't tell my friends in the bank. What I did was, actually, I wasn't 100% sure myself. So I went to, I have a cousin who's out in the Philippines. She's a Sacred Heart sister out there, Sister Geraldine Ban. And I went out there, two trips out to the Philippines, just to see, maybe I was more, because I loved the mission work in South Africa. And I said, maybe this type of work would be more suitable. And I went out, she's out in Manila. And oh, the heat and the pollution and everything. They have a very hard life there. And I just yearned for the quietness and the solitude and the peacefulness of Glencairn, really, you know. And they have a very tough life. They're trying to balance their prayer life with very hard work that they do, you know. So I felt it wasn't for me. I love South Africa, but I felt I was more drawn to the contemplative way of life.
Yeah, the rhythm of life here is just beautiful. I mean, it is. It's balanced, and there is a structure to it, but it's not rigid.
Too rigid. That's right. That's true. Yeah, we have the prayer life, and we have the work. You know, and we have to balance that, right? We try to balance it, you know, not to put too much emphasis on activism. Sometimes it's not so easy, you know.
Yeah. Did you find community life difficult when you came in first?
Well, yes, because I lived on my own, even though my sister lived down the road from me. But, you know, we have very diverse community members here. We have different cultures and, say, different temperaments, different personalities, which is good. Thank God for it, you know, because I think we learn to accept one another, and you know, we create this mutual respect for one another, and we learn to accept ourselves, you know, by accepting one another, we accept our gifts and our limitations, and and it's difficult. But I think it's the only way to conversion, I think, you know. And even though there are times, and I'm at the beginning, I'd love to be a hermit. Oh, I'd love to be away from all, you know, just myself and God, you know. But I think that's kind of a cop-out in a way.
I know.
You know, mm-hmm. sometimes you love that, but mm-hmm. we have a lovely community here, mm-hmm. and we have different age groups, and like I said, different culture from different cultures, you know, and we have Indians and Africans and Japanese and Americans, you know, so.
Yeah.
Which is great.
It is. It's fantastic. It's
yeah.
it's a real kind of sign of the spirit as well.
It is.
So many
is.
People are drawn here.
Yeah, and everybody has so much different things to offer, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And but you know, a community, we have our ups and downs, like everybody,
like
every
any family,
you know?
Like any family.
But there is a great support and encouragement there as well. Mm-hmm. We help one another.
That is fantastic.
So, yeah.
It really is lovely. What's your favorite part of the day? Do you have a favorite?
I love the idea to be called to prayer seven times a day. Mm-hmm. I just love that. I hear the bell, you know, because sometimes, you know, it just brings you, gets you focused on God again.
Exactly.
And especially love compline,
mm-hmm.
night time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's because I know I'm going to.
I'm not sure it's just that.
No, it's not. I'm joking, but I do love the compline, you know, and I love vigils as well. If mm-hmm. I'm not too tired, you know, mm-hmm. because when I came first, I used to. Because here the church is facing east,
mm-hmm.
and at this time you can see the sun rising.
The sun rising, wow!
And it's so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And I cycle out to the front gate up the avenue to open the gates in the morning, you know, and like this morning there was a red sun.
Oh, there
rising.
Was.
Did you see
there
that?
Was indeed, I did.
It was beautiful. I don't know about that sign up. It's a big red ball, you know.
So what time do you open the gates?
Well, we have the vigils, as you know, at mm-hmm. 4:10, and then quiet prayer, and then I go up there, you know, about 5:30.
So people can join you for morning prayer then if they were around?
Oh yes, mm-hmm. yes, they can join us anytime. We have the guest house there, you know,
mm-hmm.
A small guest house, and people come for a quiet time, and they're welcome to join us in prayer.
Lovely.
Yes.
It is. It's wonderful just to sit there and kind of be drawn into the liturgy like that.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's something about it. The chanting is, you know, it's just it's beautiful, you know.
Mm-hmm. And then you're involved in some work in the monastery as well. Do you have a particular role?
That's right. Yeah. I work in the card drawing department. We have we produce cards. We produce all types of cards there. A variety of greeting cards, mm-hmm. both Irish and in English. Cards for all occasions, Christmas, Easter, Patrick's Day cards. And they're all designed and printed in our own print works mm-hmm. there. And they include a range of individually crafted pressed flower cards.
Oh,
we grow them in the monastery and we press them.
Oh.
And they're made to order. And we also do personalised cards for any special occasion.
Mm-hmm.
But I suppose most of our business is memorial and acknowledgement cards, which are suitable for commemorating the deceased.
Mm-hmm.
And they're available in all range and sizes, and they're individually, again, designed to meet mm-hmm. the customer's needs and specifications.
Isn't that fantastic?
And yes, and an important role of our... the card part is ministering really to those who have been bereaved.
Mm-hmm.
They come from martyrs' cards.
Aww.
So it's nice.
So it's a nice outreach for yourselves as well. You know, connecting back with the community at a time.
That's true. You know, so you know, and also you hear all the, you know, the sad stories as well. You know, mm-hmm. and you hope that you'll be of some hope or some to people who are bereaved, you know, because it's a very tough time for them too, you know, but it helps them mm-hmm. to talk about it. And,
mm-hmm. and it's part of your charism anyway, to bring everybody to God through prayer.
That's right, yes, mm. yes. Yes, hospitality is part of our charism as well, you know.
Yeah.
But,
so if somebody wanted to order some cards, how would they go about it?
Well, normally they ring up and make an appointment,
okay.
and they come and they see the range of our cards, and mm-hmm. we, you know, if they have a specific picture or verse or scene that they like to put on a card, you know, and then we have a mass here for the faithful departed once a month.
Oh, beautiful.
For all our friends and benefactors and families, and we also include those that have died that they have got martyrs' cards from us. We include them in our prayers as well in the Mass.
Right. Yes. Do you ever get bored with the life?
No, I can't say I do. You know, I don't. Mm-hmm. Because even though they say doing the same thing day in, day out, mm-hmm. but it's not. I don't think so. There's always something different. No, I don't. I mean, I love the simple life. Mm-hmm. And that's what drew me here in the first place, you know. Uncomplicated, I say, but sometimes it's very complicated. But I love the simple lifestyle and the silent and the peaceful environment, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I imagine letting go of habits and ways of living are the harder ones
true.
To...
That is very true, you know. Mm. Yes, it is, you know, it's the purification that goes on in us every day, isn't it?
But yet it's a joyful purification. You know, you're doing it for a higher purpose.
Yes, sure, it's just exactly, mm-hmm. you know.
Some of the other sisters spoke about an inner freedom.
Yeah.
Kind of receiving that. How would you describe that for somebody who, you know, who hasn't experienced it?
Yes, you see, it's very different to freedom, as we call it. You know, mm-hmm. it's just this interiority that nothing matters really but you and God, you know. Mm-hmm. How would you say it? It's the whole area of contemplation where you... It's like being somebody giving you a hug, we'll say, mm-hmm. and they're not saying anything, but at the same time you're communicating with mm-hmm. that person, and that's your whole relationship with God. You're just so free of everything. It's very, I find it difficult to really to put words on it, you know.
You did very well.
But it is there. That's what mm-hmm. I was trying to do, you know, mm-hmm. and just to be free of all, you know, the chaos and confusion that's out there in mm-hmm. life. And I do feel sorry for people at the outset. I think they have a much tougher life than we have here, you know. But
it just reminds me again of the definition of charity,
yeah.
to love God above all else and that's to love true. Our neighbours for yeah. God's sake.
Exactly.
And like when you strip it really down to that, no matter what walk of life you're in, it is a simple, not an easy, but a simple life.
Exactly, yes, mm-hmm. yeah. And they said, by loving your neighbour, you're loving God. You
exactly.
know? And that's what we all do. We're conformed to Christ. We see Christ, try to see Christ in everybody, mm-hmm. you know. And that's the way God created us. And I think I think we all have a specific plan and a mission mm-hmm. to do. We don't know what it is. Could be visible, could be invisible. But I think God has a special plan for us. And that's all I want to do, to be the person that God wants me to be, you know. And, you know, that hoping that he delights in me, that I don't, you know, that don't offend him and,
sure.
you know, just live each day in his presence.
It's a beautiful thought. Thank you so much, Sister Maureen, for giving up your time and for coming on the program to talk to us. You've been fantastic.
Thank you very much.
Our next piece of music, taken again from the sisters' album, Laudamus, is a sung version of the Our Father. So let's have a listen.
Sacred Space on West Limerick 102.
Welcome back to Sacred Space. My name is Lorraine Buckley, and the last sister we are going to meet is Sister Clothilde Anamitsu. Sister Clothilde is from Japan and speaks to us first about how she came to be a Catholic. Thank you so much for coming on the programme. I really appreciate it. You're the bursar here.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yes, an unworthy bursar.
Oh, not at all. What does a bursar do?
Counting money.
Counting money.
But keeping every financial aspect of the monastery.
Fantastic.
And, main things, and also I have a secretary at work to correspond.
Oh, good. Great. So, Clotilde, you're not Irish.
No.
No, you're from Japan?
From Japan, yeah.
Wow. Can you tell me a little bit about your family background?
Me? Mm-hmm. Family? Yeah, I'm the baby of three girls.
Oh.
Only that.
That's lovely.
Yeah. And my mother is still alive, getting 95 in August.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, and she's in a special, you know, care for mm-hmm. nursing home.
Okay.
My father died very young. And two older sisters alive, and their families, and one niece, and three nephews.
Lovely.
That is
Did you always want to be a nun?
Yeah. As you know, Japan is the not Christian mm-hmm, Christian mm-hmm. country. It's very pagan.
Okay.
Three out of 1,000 people. Three or four out of 1,000 are Christian in
okay.
all denominations.
Wow.
You know, very, very,
very, very smart.
Christian. Yeah, Christianity mm-hmm. is very unknown. But my parents put three girls to the missionary school run by Catholic sisters.
Lovely.
So from kindergarten, mm-hmm. I was brought in that atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
So, and my best friend in my class was from a Catholic family.
Okay.
So I wanted to be like her, you know? Because the Catholic family, Catholic school, the baptized Christians are a bit privileged.
Okay, right.
You know, for instance, when we have a procession, they are the first one to in the line and throw the flowers and all that. So I really envious of them.
Yeah.
I wanted to be like them.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's the way. No, it started like this. They were receiving the catechism after ordinary school day.
Okay.
But before that, maybe the sisters need to have some reunion or something like that. So school finishes. And then there are one hour
break. Sure.
And ordinary student pupil has to go back home.
Okay.
But those who are attending catechism can stay.
They can stay.
Yes. And I wanted to play with my friend.
Okay.
Friend has to attend to this class.
Right.
So I don't remember, but I said to my class teacher, I'd like to have the catechism lessons. The beginning, and then when the 1 year course finishes, and of course she asked me, I have no recollection, asked me, do you want to be baptized? That mm-hmm. is 12 years only, 10, 11 or 12.
Okay.
I'm late maturing girl, so no, not much about life. And then maybe I said yes, so she contacted my mother.
Okay.
And your daughter would mm-hmm. like to be baptized and something like that. And my mom, it's not against the Christian Catholicism, you know, Christianity. And she thought maybe she's a girl and when grow up and in the life might become some difficulties, you know.
Oh, of course.
So in that mm-hmm. case, mm-hmm. good to have something to hold on.
Definitely.
So, next thing I remember is I was dressed in white, with veil, and long veil, and then, you know, was baptized. that was the
wonderful. That was the beginning of everything.
The beginning of the grace.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm. And then God led you on.
Yeah, and therefore sisters were very much worried about me only Catholic in non-Christian family.
Sure.
So every week on Monday, did you go to Mass?
They were taking very good care of you.
I was not strong, obviously, and I was rather delicate, you know, weak child.
Sure.
So Sunday came, and then when it's raining or windy or cold, winter day, my mom says, you don't need to go to mass. Mm-hmm. Stay in bed. Mm-hmm. So there's a conflict between school teacher and my mom.
Oh, you poor thing.
And then maybe high school age, I was thinking about. People think why we live, you know, mm-hmm. the teenage.
Exactly. Yeah. You start looking at the meaning of life.
The meaning of life. Mm-hmm. Why I'm here, why mm-hmm. I'm living, what I'm doing in the future, what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. And all that question came. At that time, I knew already there is God, you know. Mm-hmm. So that is the relationship.
So it just started.
Started.
Wow.
Relationship. And, but I would like to escape from him. Mm-hmm. I don't mm-hmm. like him, you know.
Well, especially I think during your teenage years and early kind of 20s, you do have that little struggle going on inside you.
So, because God seems to be restricting our life, you know, the normal freedom and that kind of thing. So I changed my school mm-hmm. from the Catholic religious school to a private thing, but the very modern school.
Sure. And then, did you go on to college afterwards?
Yeah.
Lovely. What did you study?
I studied English at a college. And that is another point. When I changed high school, that is the second year of high school, mm-hmm. and I went to the ordinary school. And when that school has a very famous university connected.
Okay.
So I was granted to go into the university for, what did I major here? Science, math, and all that area. Mm-hmm. I was already granted that permission. But something in deep in myself, if I go this particular university, what happens to my inner, you know, faith, mm-hmm. like religious life, spiritual life.
Sure.
And there is a Catholic university. Here they have the Sisters of Religious of the Sacred Heart, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. Montanville. They are running the 4 years ordinary university. And but this school can allow me to get the only the scholarship examination mm-hmm. because I've already
you already got it for the science degree.
Yes, surely. If you are going to attend the entrance exam of this university, the Sacred Heart, you have to cancel. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you can take the scholarship exam of this. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very very open there.
Wasn't that great though?
Yeah. So I have 4 weeks. And exam is 5 subjects.
Oh, gosh. You've 4 weeks to study for a five-subject exam.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I study English every day. Mm-hmm. And other 4 subjects each, I allocated each 1 week.
Lovely.
And I attended the exam. And I was sure that I would pass, you know. Mm-hmm. So I just relaxed and looked around people. Actually, I was the last one to arrive. That day, when I opened the door, the senior student came. You are an announcer. Why do you know me? You are the last. Come. Stand now. Like that. And when the announcement day came, and my mom said, "Why don't you go and see what you pass, whether you pass or not?" Mm-hmm. And said, "Mom. Certainly, I'm not passed. I failed, you know. There's mm-hmm. no need to go." Mm-hmm. And my mom said, "There's no harm to go and see." Well, and reluctantly, I went. And I opened the door. There is a board and all numbers, you know.
Right.
Right there. At that time, I bet with God, you know, I fight with God.
Sure.
If you really want me to enter this Catholic university, you must let me pass.
Yeah. He has to make it happen.
Yeah. So I said, you won't.
Yeah, you lost that bet.
Sacred Space on West Limerick 102.
Welcome back to Sacred Space. My name is Lorraine Buckley. Sister Clothilde entered the Cistercians in Japan and came to Glencairn in 2000. I asked her if she noticed any differences in the structure of the day between Ireland and Japan.
No, the life is more or less the same, you know, life rhythm, life mm-hmm. structure, mm-hmm. the seven times, go to church and pray and all that. Structure more or less, because the Cistercians are all same all over the world.
Okay.
Yeah, but they are different because our monastery, each monastery is independent.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of difference.
Okay.
Free area is wider here.
It's actually a beautiful setting here, isn't it? Absolutely gorgeous.
Yes, yes.
And I love that about the place, that you can go out and go for a walk in creation if you want to.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. What's your favourite part of the Cistercian life?
Not particular this one.
Okay.
Just, I say, ordinary rhythm of the late day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just, I think, the balance of the day.
Mm-hmm.
A whole day is balanced. Prayer and work and eating. Have siesta, you know, rest.
Mm-hmm.
All those are so quietly, peacefully arranged.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the whole day, the rhythm of the day, I mm-hmm. think.
And the solitude and the peace. Mm. Do you have time for recreation together?
No, we don't have the general recreation.
Okay.
That is the one of the Cistercian characteristics.
Right, you don't have general recreation.
No, that is written in the constitution, I think. I was in the general chapter as an interpreter to revise the constitution, mm-hmm. you know. So I had it with, oh, many discussions was there, so I remember. So Cistercian charism, one of the charisms is we don't have recreation.
Okay.
Like other, you know, contemplative mm-hmm. sisters mm-hmm. have the at 7 o'clock or 6 we get together. No, we don't. But here is not. But in Japan, for the four sisters in formation,
mm-hmm.
postulant and novices and all those, they have recreation once a week.
Okay. And it's good at that time of their
yes.
life, isn't it? Just
yeah.
when you're getting used to monastic
yes.
life.
Yeah. I'd like to introduce that one to here also. I think they have some gathering, you know, not regularly
right.
once a week. Yeah.
It must become like a real family when, you, when you're here for
yeah.
a lot of time.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. It's like real sisters.
Yes.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. That is really... That is grace, I think.
Mm-hmm. It is grace, mm-hmm. absolutely. It is.
Mm-hmm.
It's lovely to see God's grace working
yeah.
in the community like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you involved in any hobbies? Do you paint or anything like that?
Before Bursa, I came in 2000, as I told you.
Mm-hmm.
I was allocated to the car department.
Oh, fantastic.
So we started with Sister Lily about mortuary card and all those designs.
Oh.
The cards over there, you know, mostly I made it, designed it.
That is lovely. And it's another witness, isn't it, about how the contemplative life supports
yeah.
the world.
Yes, and then we make card as well as we are playing for them.
Lovely.
So that is when I was full-time in the car department and make a mortuary card. So I have so many acquaintances over in heaven now. So when I die, I won't lose my way.
Yeah.
There
will be. We should all be so lucky.
So many.
That is a lovely way to look at it.
How many, hundreds.
Yeah, yeah. Fantastic.
So,
doesn't it highlight the connection, though, that we all have as members of Christ's family? You know, that when we die, it's not the end.
No.
That we do have connections with people yeah. who've passed on before us.
Yes.
That's beautiful. Really yeah. beautiful.
So, the life, the world in heaven and here, there's not much. No
difference. You just pass peacefully from one to the next.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Even, you know, even when we pray during the Mass, we pray, you know, as part of the communion of saints.
Yeah.
And I think we don't reflect on it as much. You know, we don't like to think of death. But really, we are truly connected.
Yeah.
It's incredible when you think about it. So I want to thank you so much for your time here this morning. I really thank you for sharing some of your story. Well, write the book yet.
So, thank you for listening.
You are more than welcome. Thank you. I would like to thank the sisters once again for extending their hospitality to me and allowing me to interview them. The sisters have a monastic experience weekend coming up next weekend, that's October 25th to the 27th. If you are a young woman between the ages of 20 and 40 and would like to find out more about the Cistercian way of life, please do consider attending this weekend, where you will have the opportunity to meet the sisters and to speak with them about different aspects of their life. To book your place on the weekend or to find out more about the Cistercians, please contact Sister Sarah at 087-1909-830. That's 087-1909-830 or email vocations@glencairnabbey.org. Our final piece of music is again taken from the sisters' album Laudamus and is the Salve Regina. So until next week, God bless. Bye bye.
Sacred Space on West Limerick 102.